I promised to share a little bit with you from the Bible, and I'm going to share with you from one of my favorite texts in the Bible. It's from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, from verse 35. It's about how Jesus meets some of the first disciples. The background is that John the Baptist, he started preaching, and he called people to be baptized and to follow Jesus. And then we'll read about John the Baptist in John 1:35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asking, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you'll see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You'll be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. As I told you, it's one of my favorite texts in the Bible, because it taught me so much about evangelism. John the Baptist, he pointed out when Jesus came that it was Jesus who was the person he talked about. It was not about himself, but when Jesus passed by, he said, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." And because John, he pointed to Jesus, some of these first followers of him, they wanted to meet Jesus. Andrew, that was one of the first we heard about here. And Andrew, he's one of those who became one of the 12 that followed very closely for 3 years. And Andrew, we don't hear very much about him in the New Testament. Just a few times we hear about him. And perhaps we could think, well, he's not very important, this guy, Andrew. He was just one of them, but not very important. We hear a lot about Peter and John and James, but not very much about Andrew. Perhaps he didn't do anything important. From this text, we know that at least one very important thing happened, and he did one very important thing. What was that? When he met Jesus and he found out who he was, we'll see in verse 41, it says, "The first thing Andrew did," that was the first thing he did when he met Jesus. The first thing he did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." So the first, very first thing he did when he met Jesus himself was finding his brother and calling him to follow Jesus. Was that important? Extremely important, because Simon Peter, he became the leader of the church. But it started because the more or less unknown disciple, Andrew, met his brother. And he was a witness to him. Sometimes we think, perhaps I'm not very important. It's not important that I share the gospel with him or her. But you never know. Here, Simon Peter, he became the leader of the church for many years and one of the writers of the New Testament. But it started because Andrew met his brother and he gave this very simple testimony. We have found the Messiah. It's not a very long sermon, actually. Just 10 seconds. We found the Messiah. I read over the years many books about evangelism. Lots of books have been written and shared all over the place. We have a few of them today, and I read a number of them, and many more books have been written. What is evangelism? What is mission? How to share your faith, etc. And you can read hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages about theories about that. But I tell you, in the Bible, in this verse, we know what is mission, what is evangelism. It's very, very simple, actually. Verse 42. And Andrew brought him to Jesus. That's mission. That's evangelism. That's what it's all about. He brought him to Jesus. It's the same call for us. When we are called to be evangelists and to share our faith, it's bringing people to Jesus. In that sense, it's very simple. I know there are lots of other things to say about that, but it is simple because that's a task, that's a call, bringing people to Jesus. I know we can't do it in the same way as he did. We don't know how he did. Perhaps he took his brother and said, oh, you must come, you must come, come on, come on, come on, come on, and see him. We can't do exactly the same because Jesus is not here in the same way as he used to be. But he's here, and we can share the good news, we can witness about him. When he started, and he called his brother, I don't think what his first thing in his mind was, now I met Jesus and I know who is the number one person that I think will become a Christian. I don't think that was what he thought when he thought about his brother, the fisherman Simon. Because when we meet Simon Peter in the New Testament, sometimes we hear he's not very friendly. Every time we hear about him, sometimes I think it was I think he was a big man. He was a worker. He used to be a fisherman, and I think he was his words, they were not kind, all of them. So probably Andrew thought, God, do you really mean telling him? But I think he, God reminded him, yes, him, share with him. And he did. And Simon Peter, he became a follower of Jesus and the leader of the church. Some of the others, for example, Nathaniel, I think he could live in 2016 in Oslo or Copenhagen, I think, because he had arguments when he heard about Jesus. I think you met several people who had arguments when they heard about Jesus, didn't you? Yeah. And Nathaniel, he was in the same way. He said, can anything good come from Nazareth? Oh no, I don't want to hear about Jesus. and many of us, we heard several arguments, perhaps not that same phrase, but lots of arguments from people. And what did they do? They didn't argue very much. Philip, he said to him, come and see. So that was the same. He wanted him to meet Jesus himself. So I think what I learned from this is don't argue too much with people. Of course, sometimes we have to have some kind of talking with people before we can share the good news. But don't discuss. I don't think ever anybody have been discussed into faith in Jesus. I don't think so. So don't discuss, don't argue very badly with people. Listen to them, ask them questions, and share the good news. I know sometimes it's not that easy, but I think it's important to listen to people and share the good news. That was what we heard here from the New Testament. From these first disciples, we can learn several things. We can learn, go first to those people who are close to us. I think most of us, we have family, friends, colleagues, etc., who are not Christians. They don't know Jesus, all of them. And I'm sure that everybody of us and all Christians, we've been called first of all to those close to us. And now we are a bunch of evangelists, so we know that we have been called to share the good news in the streets, in prisons, everywhere. And I think all of us, we also are aware that we are called to witness to those close to us. But not all Christians. Often when I speak in churches, I remind people that all Christians, everybody who knows Jesus, he or she is a witness. And even though perhaps people are not evangelists or have the gift of evangelism, everybody, every Christian, are called as witnesses, called to give out to those close to them the word from Jesus. We, all of us, we are witnesses in words and in deeds, in our life, because people listen to us and they watch us, and from these things they'll have a glimpse of Jesus. None of our words, not all of our life will point to Jesus, but when they meet us, when they listen to us, when they see us, when they are together with us, they'll have glimpses of who Jesus is, even though we are not 100% perfect. It would be great if we could live in the same way and have it in the same way as some of the first disciples, because they said, we can't stop telling about him. I think even though I've been an evangelist for more than 30 years, sometimes I can stop talking about him. Sometimes I don't want to. Sometimes when I have booked evangelism with a team, I think, I hope I'll get a headache today. I don't want to go. Or I'm too tired. Perhaps you don't have it the same way, but I do sometimes. And sometime when I read these words from Peter and John in Acts 4:20, we can't stop telling about him. I think, oh, I wish that was my situation. My subject today was disciples are winning new disciples. So when these first disciples, they witnessed and they talked about Jesus, the important thing was not just that Andrew talked to Simon Peter and he became a Christian and could go to heaven. It was very important, of course. But when disciples are giving out the word of Jesus and witnessing to people around us, we don't just hope that people will go to heaven when they die. And we don't just witness because we want them to become Christians and be a good member in the back of the church and just sit down and don't do too much bad, but show up every time we do the service and the meetings, etc. That's not what we want alone. Of course, it's good to be a part of a Christian fellowship. It's good to be part of a good church. But what we want is that those who meet Jesus, they become disciples, followers of Jesus. They'll live closely together with him, and they'll tell about Jesus to others. One of my team members, he's from Iran, which many of them are. We have a good team in Copenhagen with many people, former Muslims from Iran and Afghanistan. They became Christians in Denmark, and they are very eager sharing the good news. But one of them, I didn't know, and I said, oh, hello, good to meet you. Did you become a Christian in Denmark? I asked him. And she said, 10 days ago, I got Jesus in my heart, and now I want to share with others. And I thought, wow, that's great. I wonder how many Christians in our churches in Denmark sitting there for 20, 40 years, did they ever have the same fire in their heart? I don't know. But as far as I can see, some of them don't. But this guy, he wanted to share. It was a few days ago he met Jesus himself, and now he wanted to share with others. And that's wonderful with new Christians. When people, they become Christians, there's so many advantages with new Christians because they know many heathens, you see. I've been a Christian for many years. Many of my friends are Christians, so I don't know very closely many who are non-believers. I have some, but not many. But those who just became Christians, they don't know many Christians, but they know lots of non-believers. So if they share it, they'll meet lots of non-Christians all the time. Of course, I know there are some new Christians. When you listen to what they tell to others, you think, perhaps not the best theology in the world. And sometimes when people ask them questions, they would say, oh, I don't know. I never heard about this story about Zacchaeus. I never read it. And you think, well, isn't he a Christian? He's not a proper Christian. He don't even know the very simple and basic thing in the Bible. But what new Christians usually say, but I don't know all of that. But I know Jesus changed my heart a few days ago. And that's important. Then they can learn the rest in a good church the rest of their life. But this fire, this new fire, we saw that with Andrew. He was on fire for Jesus. And it meant that his brother met Jesus. So I hope we'll see many Christians, many new Christians, doing lots of mistakes, but giving away what they are on fire for, that Jesus changed their heart. That's very important. Yeah, sometimes we'll get arguments like this one we read about here. And a number of Christians in Denmark, they are very, very afraid to share the good news about Jesus because they are so afraid, I can't answer all these questions people have. Did you ever hear Christians tell that here? Yeah. It's quite simple. Now I'll learn you or teach you how you can learn in 30 seconds to teach other Christians that they don't have any more to be afraid of any question they'll meet the rest of their life. Would you like to learn that in 30 seconds?
Yes.
Good. It's quite simple, you see. Because the first thing is nobody wants to talk to or expects you or other Christians to be Google. That is possible or is able to answer all questions in all the world. And that's good. We have Google for that or internet. And the other thing is, if you can't answer anything else to a question, you can say, I don't know. That's an answer, isn't it? Yeah. So now you are able to answer all questions in all the world, in the streets or anywhere. If you can't answer anything else, you can just say, I don't know. Of course, it's good not every time to say, I don't know. If they ask you, why are you a Christian? It's good to have another answer, you see. But that's the most important answer. Why are you a Christian? Or how do you become a Christian? But anything else, just calm down. It's not a problem. And most people will understand. If they ask some crazy question, you can just say, well, that's not a subject I know very much about. I don't know. Could we talk about something else? Or sometimes I say, I don't know anything about this kind of religion you're talking about, but you see, I'm a Christian. So that's something I know very, very much about. That's living together with Jesus. And I would like to talk about him. Would you like to know how I became a Christian? And then you go to another subject. Not to be unfriendly and so on, but it's okay to say, I don't know. Now, many of us are in one way or another involved with street evangelism, and that's one way of sharing the good news. And as Anna-Marit said, it's good. We have the same experience in Copenhagen like you here, that it's more normal today than 10 years ago to share the good news in the streets. That's good. But there are lots of ways to share the good news. And it's so nice to hear your stories from prisons and other places where you share the good news. But I think there are, for us and for all other Christians, there are some very simple things that we sometimes forget that is good to use as tools in evangelism. What about your home? Your home? We hear in the Bible about Matthew in Luke 5:29. Matthew, he became a Christian. He became one of the first disciples. And when he met Jesus, what did he do? He did a party in his home. And who did he invite? He invited the tax collectors. He invited the Pharisees. So different groups. And then he invited Jesus and his disciples. So now in his home, there were different groups of people. There were the believers and Jesus himself. And then there were the tax collectors and sinners. They were the outcasts of these days. And then the scribes and the Pharisees who knew scripture but didn't know Jesus. But there were these groups together. And I'm sure when they were talking, they were not just Jesus and disciples at this table, and they talked to each other. And over here we had the tax collectors and sinners, they were together, and then we had the scribes and Pharisees down there. I'm sure they talked to each other around these tables, if they used tables, I don't know. But they were together, and I'm sure Jesus and his disciples, they were witnessing to these different groups. And you see, sometimes it's good to have a party. Perhaps you have non-Christian friends, and you tried several times to witness for them. Perhaps it was not that easy because they wouldn't listen to you. Invite them to your party with other Christians, because sometimes it's easier for other Christians to witness to your friends. It's strange, but sometimes it is. But use your home. Use your work, or meet these people you meet closely. I think there are many ways. And then we already heard lots of things today about prayer, and I will just underline that once again. It's very important with prayer. Pray for your friends, your family, and pray for people in the streets you don't know, and those you'll meet at the open airs. I usually pray in that way: God, send us today one of those people you already sent another disciple to. And very often, these people we meet in the streets or at our book table or wherever we go, when I talk to them and they stop, often they say, "Oh, it's interesting you talk to me today, because this morning I talked to one of my colleagues who is actually a Christian, and he said the same as you did. It's strange. I don't understand why." I do, because I'm sure God planned it that way. And I remember years ago, that was in those days where street evangelism was almost banned in Denmark. It was in the year 2000. And I remember I met a young girl, I said to her, "You see, we have such a campaign here. It's called Jesus 2000, because Jesus is still alive in the year 2000. "Oh, it's strange I meet you," she said, because this morning, one of my student mates invited me to Laget, the Danish Laget, school of Laget, to a preaching about Jesus, and I went to it. And I can see at your leaflet, it says a web page, Jesus 2000. They talked about that at that meeting as well. So I was thinking just 10 seconds ago about this web page, and I thought, I have to remember, because when I come at home, I'll read at that web page more about Jesus. It gave me a picture that I don't think I ever will forget. It's so important that we work, all these things work together. There was a Christian friend at her school inviting her to a meeting. She went from that meeting with that web page in her head. She wanted to go back and read more. And when she met me in the street of Copenhagen, I reminded her about the meeting and the web page and Jesus. So I think you can't say open air evangelism doesn't work, or friendship evangelism doesn't work, or whatever you said, meeting campaigns, it doesn't work. I think everything works. Sometimes something works better than others, but all these things should work all together, because God, he wants to save people, he wants to call people in all different ways. And I'm sure we're called to use all these different tools that we can. Yeah, I think that's it. I love this passage, and I learned so much from it. And I think that phrase, I think I'll remember that, even though I have done much evangelism. I have learned a lot from that. I learned a lot from books, but I many times think about, he brought his brother to Jesus. That's so important. And I hope you'll do that yourself and your brother. It can be more than just your brother, but your friend, your closest mates, you'll bring them to Jesus.